Welcome to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast, where we focus on the people, the products, and the process of e-commerce selling today. Here's your host, Stephen Peterson.
Welcome back to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast. This is episode 30, Scott Margolius. Scott runs a company called FeedbackRepair.com, and he's not going to try and sell you anything. What we're going to do is we're going to talk about my experience dealing with him. We're going to talk about how we met, my skepticism at his service, because I just pictured a guy trying to sell me something. But it's actually a pretty interesting story, and I shared the results of what he did for our account. And I think you'll find that he might be able to help you too. So let's get into the podcast. All right, welcome back to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast. And tonight's guest is a great story of how we met, and that'll be part of the story. It is Scott Margolius of FeedbackRepair.com. Welcome, Scott.
Hey, thank you. Thanks for having me.
All right, I got to tell the story of how we met. So you and I were at a conference in Louisville, Kentucky a few weeks ago, month, I don't even know how long ago it's been. And it was the CES conference, Jim Cockrum's CES conference, which was a great, great conference, great speakers, great event, 600 people attend. And so at one point, for whatever reason, I'm down in the lounge lobby area sitting, talking with a couple other sellers, and didn't know you, and you were talking to some other sellers yourself, and they happened to be serving Bloody Mary's at 3 in the afternoon. I did like that hotel. That was a highlight of the trip. But so we start talking, you and I, and my skepticism went up immediately because, okay, here's a guy saying, hey, you know, Steve, I can help you. And I'm thinking, do I need help? You know, deep down, I probably knew I needed help. But, you know, being a man, I'm a little afraid to admit it, you know, don't ask directions, that kind of thing. And so you started talking and you said, oh, well, let's look at your account. Okay, I'm up for the challenge. I pull up my account, and sure enough, it says, hey, I'm at 100. And you said, oh, that's great, Steve, but let's go a little deeper. Boom, we pop it in, and sure enough, my numbers were not 100 because I never knew to go deeper and look in that particular area. So a lot of sellers are going to be like, oh, this is common, Steve. You know, you should spend more time on it. But I don't have a lot of time, so I did not pay that much attention. And I think my number was 90% in the last 30 days when you and I first started talking. And I was embarrassed a little bit and taken back. And I'll explain why I think this is really relevant to the buy box for me in a particular case. But, you know, you and I had deeper conversation and you said, Steve, I can help you. I can fix that for you. Is that kind of the way you remember it, too?
I think that's pretty similar. I do remember you had, it seemed like, a lot of reticence at the time. You know, that wasn't something that you really thought was real, or I'm not sure where I lost you or why things weren't connecting. But I do remember that very specifically. It's like, oh, come on, you know, this can't be happening this way. Or it just seemed like a great unlikelihood for you.
It did. I was skeptical because I'm thinking, oh, here comes somebody else going to try and sell me something else I don't need. I don't need the shiny object. I bought all that stuff and don't use it. You know, I've got the treadmill that we put our jackets on. I've got one of those, you know. And so, you know, it just came across that way immediately in my mind just because there's so much out there. But I'm on the other side of it today, and I'm living proof, and we're going to talk about my numbers, and I'm going to post them on my website. So when you go to ecommercemomentum.com and you look at this this episode, I'm going to actually have the screenshots. I have a before and after, and at that point there were 6 cases pending. But today, I told Scott today, I mean, they've all been removed. 100% of them have been removed. Not You didn't miss any, 100%. You told me, I don't know whether I'll be able to get 100% for you, Steve, but you got 100%. I'm here to tell you that. It's incredible.
That's pretty wonderful. I had not checked again after the update that I'd given you to see how things had panned out.
Okay, and we're going to talk about the whole process, how it works, how I had to give you access at certain levels of my business. There is a trust factor. There are some things, but, you know, you're in business, so you have to expect some of that. You know, just like I use ScanPower, there's a trust level, right? There's those kind of things, any of the other tools. So before we get into that, let's talk about you and your experiences. You're a seller. You've been a seller for quite a long time, selling on eBay and Amazon. What's your background, Scott?
Well, my dad was Army, so I was actually talking to somebody about that last night, and they were wondering if I'd done much traveling. And I've moved, you know, at least 26 times, and it's been, you know, very interesting to sort of grow up in a way that you are only in one place for 4 years at the most. And so I went to three different preschools and three different middle schools and three different high schools. And, you know, over time you adapt and you get used to meeting new people and making new relationships. And so I think that has been a pretty significant part of how I do what I do, how I interact with people. And it's been an asset for a long time. I thought, boy, what happens when I try to sink my roots in somewhere? Will I get antsy at 4 years and feel like I need to move? Mm. And that hasn't happened that way. In fact, I've lived in the same place now for about 17 years.
You're almost part of the community, right?
Almost. I mean, you know, when it's a small town, you're never really from here unless you were, like, born here. But essentially, yeah, I'm from here.
That has to be a great skill set there, because you were very comfortable just conversing and just talking. You and I hadn't met, and then boom, you were just very comfortable. You made me feel very comfortable. So that skill set obviously has done well for you. Have you used it in other places, do you find?
Well, I've been involved with some aspect of sales or customer service for quite a long time, and I think a lot of the whole aspect of wanting to be treated a certain way and then wanting others to treat you that way and, you know, basically wanting people to have a good experience, whatever that is, whether it's, you know, customer service side or sales side. I mean, I don't sell. I don't sell anything. I've never considered myself a salesperson, but I always like to have products that sell themselves. So, you know, you utilize the ability to talk to somebody and inform them about something, and then it's up to them to make a decision. It's never a hard sell to me.
I didn't feel like you were selling me. I'll be honest with you, because, you know, again, I was that skeptical guy. I didn't feel intimidated. You didn't make me feel stupid. I'll be honest with you, just the fact that you were able to point out something to me and without me getting my ire up to say, you know, hey, dummy, you know, here's this. You were very comfortable about it. That made me feel really good. I really admire that.
Well, thank you. I'm glad to hear that. You know, you want people to feel good about what they're doing, and if there's an opportunity to improve or to help somebody, you want to be able to do that in such a way that you're respecting that person, and everybody's, you know, got a different situation where maybe they have a limitation, maybe they have a difficulty, maybe there's something that they really want to achieve. And if you can help somebody by siding with them and seeing things from their perspective and then bringing some sort of outside perspective, I think that all makes a lot of sense.
It sure does. I mean, it sure does. So you started Feedback Repair how long ago?
Oh, it's interesting. I kind of tested it for quite a while on eBay as a service on eBay before I launched the site. I thought, boy, I wonder if there is a market for this. And there was enough demand, and I had enough traffic of people who were sort of just finding me organically on eBay that I thought maybe I need to develop this into something else, because, one, I found in doing it, I really enjoyed doing it. I really enjoyed helping people. I enjoyed helping people with their accounts. And so I built it out into a standalone website probably in October, around October of 2014.
Okay. How many people have you helped, or how much feedback have you been able to get corrected, taken away based on the terms and that kind of thing? Do you have any guess on how many numbers?
I would say in the thousands, but yeah. I don't necessarily do the best job in the world of tracking all of that.
Okay.
You know, I tend to do a much better job of that kind of thing for other people, but not necessarily for myself. I mean, if you ask me how many miles per gallon is my truck get, I don't pay attention to those sorts of things. I really don't.
But it's in the thousands, so clearly you have some experience doing this.
Sure. No, and it could be, I mean, I've removed a few hundred at a time. I've removed more than that at once or twice. And I've got a few clients that I work with on a regular basis who have just a lot that they need to have removed over time. And, you know, they're not ready to necessarily do it all at once, but I help them with other aspects of their account. So it just really runs the gamut. I can help somebody with one or six or 100 or 1,000.
Do you see a common theme among – well, let me ask it this way, because are you seeing – I think people are paying more attention to it, right, as people are, especially now that you're seeing people getting kicked off a lot, right? It seems to be a much more frequent item. Do you see a common theme amongst feedback? Is there a trend? Are people – you know, the belief is that, you know, customers who – you know, that there are actually posts out there how you can get free stuff from Amazon,
right,
that kind of thing.
Right.
And so – people are using some of those things to their advantage. Do you see – is that prevalent in what you see?
Absolutely. I see – I also help people with account suspensions. So, you know, the restoration of the account once that they've received a notice in their performance notifications. And I definitely see a pattern for a lot of the same reasons that you see an account suspended. Those are – that some of that language is what you will also see – in the negative feedback. And, you know, the ones that I see that are most prevalent that are also most likely to get your account suspended seem to have to do with a complaint about counterfeit. You've probably seen that before.
I have, yeah.
And you see the same thing for complaints about an item that was used but sold as new. And there are a few others that are similar, but those are the biggest ones. And the pattern there is you'll get somebody complaining about that. And I have just a suspicion, it's not founded on, you know, any kind of statistical data, but that somebody will use that information as a hack to be able to get something for free or to not have to pay return shipping. And they will follow up their complaint or their request for the refund and the free return shipping by also leaving a negative feedback, because maybe they're assuming that that further validates their complaint, that it keeps them from looking like they're just trying to get return shipping. And if they, you know, hammer it home by leaving a negative feedback as well, then maybe it protects their buyer account, something along those lines.
Those of us who have accounts and we're worried about suspension, right, and we're worried about these things, and I'll be honest with you, that was the thing that kind of pushed me over the edge dealing with you, is because I start seeing all these other people. That was a topic of discussion at Jim's conference, and I'm thinking, man, I got to be watching that. You kind of put the fear of God in me when you showed me my numbers, I'll be honest with you. And so it's like, ooh, I better take this serious, and I better get more proactive. So there are some things that sellers can do, correct?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, so why don't we do this? Let's go to break, and when we come back, how about you give us some of the best practices or some advice you think we should do to keep our account healthy and in good standing, okay?
Okay.
All right, let's get break, and we'll be right back. Today's podcast is brought to you by Seller Essentials, essential business solution for online sellers. Whether you sell general merchandise on Amazon or eBay, private label your own product, or if your focus is selling books, wholesale products, or liquidation lots, let Seller Essentials be your online resource for all things e-commerce. Essential resources, essential solutions, Seller Essentials, the Internet's premier venue for online professional. Visit SellerEssentials.com for more information. That's SellerEssentials.com. All right, before we jump back in, I think the tips that Scott gives are just really great. I know they're common sense, and some of you are already doing them, and I applaud you, but I'm just living proof that it gets away from you. It's easy to do. There are just so many fires you're fighting. You're not paying attention to this. At least I am. I wasn't. I am now, by the way, but I wasn't. And it clearly got away from us, and he was able to help us. He gives you real tips. Again, this is a service that you pay for, so you can do it without him. He even says that you can do it without him, and he even gives you some tips on how to do it without him. However, if you need help, if you need time, like I have to buy time, this could be a valuable service. Also offers suspension, reinstatement help, letters and all kinds of other services. And, you know, I'm just recommending them from my personal experience. Use at your own, in your own way. I hope you get as lucky as I did. I'm just telling you, when you see the stats, if you go to the website, you'll actually see our snapshots of our account, and you can see the real work that he did. So let's get back into the podcast. All right, we're back, and we're talking with Scott Margolius from feedbackrepair.com, and we're talking about how we can keep our account healthy, how we can keep it in good standing. And Scott has some best practices and some tips. All right, Scott, help me.
Well, one of the things is whenever you see a feedback that has something to do with counterfeit, or it's complaining that something was used, sold as new, I absolutely would never let that sit, because those types of negatives, those negative feedbacks, are ones that I think have a lot to do with getting an account flagged and increasing the likelihood of a suspension. And so I don't actually let any negative or neutral feedback sit, but those in particular I like to pursue aggressively, and even perhaps follow up with opening cases and letting the seller support know that this couldn't be further from the truth. I mean, even after you get it removed, you may choose to be particularly aggressive and say, hey, we had a feedback complaint about such and such ASIN, bring that ASIN to their attention and ask them to review and get back to you and let you know that this is not something that is an ongoing issue that could put your account in jeopardy. And I've pursued that in a number of different ways, whether it's sending an email to seller performance, whether it's opening a case with seller support, whether it's chat, phone call. I just don't let it rest, because it's so much easier to try to keep your account metrics healthy and protect your account than it is to worry about the issue of getting suspended.
And so you really pointed out that there are actually a bunch of different departments to deal with. Do you approach each one in a different way? Is that what you recommend?
Slightly differently. They each have their own, you know, internal hierarchies, and then they don't spend a whole lot of time, it doesn't seem like to me, talking to one another. I approach the people who are handling the removal of feedbacks completely differently than I might approach seller performance. And I might approach seller performance a little bit differently than I would approach seller support. And then there's another department that you can't even necessarily get a hold of. You have to have a case open for you or forward that to them, and that's a quality team that specifically reviews items having to do with a claim of counterfeit. And anytime you have something like that, you just want to approach that as proactively, even aggressively as you can, to protect your account.
Okay. All right. That's great. So let's walk through the steps. Let's talk about my account first.
Okay.
Let's do that.
Okay.
Okay. So, and I, as again, I'm going to post these out on the website. So when you and I met, you had done a before snapshot. And so what I had to do was I had to go sign into Seller Central and send an invitation to you to be a user.
Right.
So I had to go under users and send you an invitation based on your email. And then once that was the case, you accepted it, I guess, on your end, and it came in and it said, okay, you have a new user. Then I was able to set the permissions for you. And I set the permissions so you could review my feedback. But I excluded you from the rest of my site, right? You couldn't see much else, right? I'm just trying to make sure people understand that there is some trust, but there are some controls. Amazon does allow you to have users using different portions of your account, and Scott was able to see that piece of my account.
Right, right. Ideally, it's just access to feedback, cases, and orders. Those are the three primary areas that are most important to be able to see in order to do all the necessary research and have all the right responses.
So before I had this is embarrassing to admit, but I'm going to come clean. I had a 90% positive feedback for 30 days, 93% for 90 days, and 94% for 365 days, and 95% lifetime.
And you didn't know that?
I had no clue, because when I look at my number, it says 100. If you look at the seller feedback number, it said 100, and I never drilled down. Now, I remember maybe a couple of years ago, I probably looked at that, but I just, you know, life goes on, we get bigger, and you got so much going on, I have not gone back. But if I looked right at my site, and matter of fact, until you had me drill down, you agree, it said 100 on there, correct?
Right, I think it did.
Yeah, and so we drill down, and then I'm embarrassed to admit that I saw this. So Scott does his wizardry. I give him access, and within, I mean, I don't know, was it a couple days? I mean, it was really quick.
It took me a while. I had a little trouble setting up a VPS for you, a virtual private server, and it just I was trying to switch between about three different providers, and I finally came up with one I was happy with.
And next thing you know, you send me an email, and I'm reading it here, and it says, there are 6 cases pending. There are 22 negatives and neutrals removed. There have been no cases denied. You have an additional X neutrals and 73 you have not attempted because they're longer than 365 days. So since I never really have dealt with this issue, and I'm, you know, being honest here, I'm embarrassed to say that because, you know, again, you get so busy and you're so busy buying and sourcing and packing and shipping, I've never really paid attention to this. But as you said, because I have an older account and I get daily payouts, I wouldn't be eligible to address those things. So there's golden rule number one. Golden nugget number one is get these things before they go to 365 days, especially if you have an older account.
Well,
you got to get them off.
That is actually explicitly the case for aged accounts. You might be able to go back a year and a half, 2 years at the very most. But a current account, a couple of weeks ago, I went back to 2004 and had feedback removed. So it's different for different accounts.
Okay, so it's because – so the older accounts like mine where you get daily payouts, I think that's a good rule of thumb to know
right.
that you have an older account.
Right.
So those, it's pretty much get them before the end of the year. So if you go and drill down into your account, so where I looked at mine, so people know to do this. You know, I'm sure the professionals know what to do, and so please – you know, I'm not speaking down to anybody. I go to performance, and then I'm looking at customer satisfaction. And I'm looking at the summary because it's just easier. And there you see customer feedback, and it shows you right there 30 days, 90 days, 365, and lifetime. And so anything within that 365 days and shorter is, for an older account like mine, the availability to get them possibly removed is there still. So look at your account, and if you have any of those out there, you got to work on them and work on them quick before they get further out. I have a bunch of them that are further out that I can't do anything with. So Escott made adjustments to my account. There were still 6 cases pending, and at that point, so I went from 30 days of 90%, and this is almost immediately. I went immediately to 96% in my 30 days. 90 days went from 93% to 99%. 365 days, so within a year, went from 94% to 99%. And you said there were still 6 cases pending. And so since then, all those cases have cleared, and I'm looking at my actual numbers right now. 30 days, 100%. 90 days, 100%. 365 days, 100%. And my lifetime even ticked up a percent to 96%. So you've gotten 100%, Scott, not even – you didn't miss any – 100% of the neutrals and negatives removed from our account within the last year.
That's – I mean, I find that to be really exciting.
That's me applauding you because, I mean, it is. These are real numbers. This is not me. I'm not getting paid in anything like this. This is real. This is our account. Again, I'm embarrassed to say it. But, you know, to be fair, what I said to Scott – you know, he doesn't sell repair services. He sells time. You've heard me say this if you've listened to my podcast before. I talk about services like prep and ship services, sourcing services, Chris Green scanning tools, Inventory Labs scanning tools, Inventory Labs management of inventory. Those are tools that buy you time. At some point in your career here, you're going to have more money than time. You're going to need help. And this is a service that I can't but help recommend it because it's just I'm blown away with 100% of all those things removed, and frankly I'm convinced it affected the buy box on a particular item. So I do have a story about that. But you know, Scott, one of the things that I thought was pretty cool when you and I were in Kentucky, you had talked about that you were working on a large client there. So you helped a little guy like me who, you know, not that big of a seller. I'm only part-time. I have a job, so this is part-time business for my wife and I. You were helping a mega seller, now a big mega seller. So talk about that if you can, or what you're able to say.
Well, he had actually come to me because he had been suspended and was needing help. He ended up being down for, a total of, 19 days. And in that time, he had lost, over $250,000 of sales.
Oh, my. So we're talking a multi-million dollar seller.
Right. Right. And I said, well, I'll tell you what, when we get your account restored, which we did, when you come back up, I see a number of things I think I can help you with. So he didn't actually come to me initially looking at feedback. He came to me for the account restoration. But in the process of trying to get his account restored, I saw other areas of his account I knew I could help him with. Some of those were his private label listings. Some of those were some best practices regarding FBA versus MFN. And some of those, of course, were feedback. He actually was at 93% lifetime and had his over 4,000 negatives and neutrals. So that tells you the size of his account. And we struck a deal where I'm going to help him, monthly over time, and we'll get the broad majority of those removed. I'm hoping I'll be able to get him lifetime back up to, 97, 98, maybe even 99. And it just depends, of course, what that's going to look like over time. I haven't had the opportunity to really dig in and analyze exactly why he's received all those negatives. And, obviously makes a difference. In your case, I thought it was unusual. The majority of your negatives came from your fulfillment as opposed to FBA fulfillment. And, as I'm sure a lot of your listeners will know, it's a lot easier to get negatives removed if it was a FBA product. But if it's MFN, it's a little bit more challenging.
And we, let's disclose this, is that, we have a pretty good size eBay and Amazon operation. We shipped about 2,000 items from our warehouse last year ourselves. And I don't – very – it's a small percentage that are Amazon. I mean, it really is. Maybe, 10-12% of that number. So you can kind of do the math, right? But we ship 7 days a week. I mean, we do. We ship 7 days a week. We use tracking 100% of the time. We never, ever don't. So, people might have complained, but they really were without merit. And if I were to let them lay, they become kind of fact. Is that the way it really is?
Pretty much. I mean, I'd always recommend that people would look at every single three-star and below. Some people, I guess, aren't aware that three-star, which sounds like a neutral and is billed as a neutral, actually counts against you. So I wouldn't let anything just sit there. I would contest everything if possible.
Okay, well, that's a good point. So three-star. I don't understand the star system. So let's go through that. So your best is five-star.
Right.
Correct? That's just everything was great, hunky-dory, as described, on time, price was right. Life is good.
Right.
Take us backwards from there.
So the four-star is essentially the same. It is counted the same in your metrics. The three-star, for some reason, they call it neutral, but it actually counts against you. So I don't understand why they do that. It's just some sort of strange anomaly. And then everything else, the twos and the ones, obviously, those are negative and are – I think, weighted a little bit differently. So it's something that I think you have to pay attention to. One of the things I like the most about helping clients who have a large number of negatives and neutrals is it gives me an opportunity to analyze very carefully why those are happening. I can say, okay, you had 80% of your issues were because of X, maybe the item arrived late, or, another 10% were because your item didn't match the description. And it's a great way to look at account health overall, and it's a great way to identify perhaps some ASINs that aren't performing the way they need to.
Hmm.
So you can fix a lot of aspects of your operation by looking at it from a bird's eye view. When you're tracking and totaling all of the different negatives and why they exist.
Do you have a could you give us a kind of a profile of what your average customer looks like? I mean, are you only dealing with the 4,000 feedback guys? Or are you dealing with the little guys like me? Or are you, I mean, is it, I guess it probably would run the gamut. But generally speaking, you know, when do people, I guess, you know, given what's going on today with those suspensions and that kind of thing, I mean, they should be taking a look at it. It's kind of like changing your oil in your car, right?
Sure.
So it's taking your car to the garage or going for a checkup with the doctor, right? We probably all should be doing that. And that sounds kind of like what you offer pretty much most of those services. So kind of give us a profile of what you think that – when does somebody need to come to a guy like you? What size of the business should they be? You know, give us something.
You know, you can look at it from several different perspectives. When you're not doing much volume and you don't have a lot of feedback overall, all of a sudden a single feedback becomes all that much more important because it affects your metrics so much in such a greater way. So, you know, if you only had four sales this month and one of them's a negative, your feedback rating plummets. So that's super important for that small seller, but it's also important for the midsize and larger sellers because it affects your ability to gain and keep the buy box. So I think it's different for different size sellers at different times. You know, a lot of it has to do with perception of reputation. So, you know, who are you most likely to buy something from if you're a buyer on Amazon and you ever bothered to do comparison shopping and go past the buy box and look at individual sellers? One of the big things you're looking at is one, location, and two, the quantity of the feedback that seller has. But one of the biggest things I think that sticks out to people is, well, how much feedback does that person have? How much feedback does that seller have? Because that history of doing fulfillment in a way that pleases other buyers is the best indicator of how good your transaction is going to be.
I heard one time somebody say the best predictor of future performance is past performance.
Exactly.
Right? I mean, that's really what it is.
Yeah, so I used a full paragraph to describe that sentence.
No, you know, I just think it, I again, and I'm guilty of it, it's not paying attention to this stuff because I'm so worried about, you know, getting the shipment in, or I'm worried about making sure I have inventory. I got the fourth quarter coming up, or I got to worry about this. This is something that we're not paying attention to, and look what's happening. You know, and I think that people shouldn't be worried about this, but they should be paying attention to it. And I think this is a real wake-up call. I've seen so many discussions about this in so many groups. Matter of fact, as I said, at Jim's conference, that was a whole segment of the conference was about this very issue. And so there are some ways you can take and improve your performance, and that's what you do, is you're kind of that mechanic or that physician's assistant that can do that kind of thing.
I think you did speak very well to this issue. It's not something to be fearful of. It is something to pay attention to. You know, it's a great way to keep pulse of your overall metrics for your account. But it's not something that you should think, oh gosh, I have X percent, I'm gonna get canned. They're gonna, you know, fire me and put me under suspension. I haven't seen that happen very often, actually.
Okay.
It's I've had customers who've been at 70%. He was at 69%. This one customer I'm thinking of in particular, and I brought him back to 70%, and it was enough to keep him from getting suspended and buy him some time to make some additional sales so that he could shore things up. But it's typically not going to be a huge volume of negative feedback or very low feedback rating that is going to get somebody suspended. It's going to be all these other things that affect your metrics. But it is such an important thing for the buy box. You know, getting the buy box, keeping the buy box is very much tied to your feedback. And so that's one of the reasons why it's important to pay attention besides just as using it as a pulse for your account.
Well, that's one of the – here's a great segue. Okay, so this was the example I referred to earlier. So a friend of mine and I, we share the buy box on a private label item he owns. Okay, I buy them directly from him at a higher price because it's his private label product, and we actually share several, but this particular one. The difference is he sends all his items in. So we each got the same amount of items. He sent all his in. I only send in enough for the next 4 weeks or whatever. I have a warehouse. So I send in a few and just pace myself, and especially because I'm using their little nudge that says, you know, manage your inventory, send in so many, don't fill up our warehouse with the same product. And so when we looked at it, I'm like, man, these things aren't selling to me. He's crushing it. Magically, we were the same price, whatever. And he had the buy box 70% of the time. And I'm like, huh. We literally went and looked at it. He had the buy box 70% of the time. So we're looking at the account. And the only thing that I could come up with at that time, the logical thought that I had was, since he sent in so much of his product, Amazon sent it all around the country, so it's within a day's delivery to every person in the United States, right? And that kind of makes sense, right? He's got enough of them where they put, you know, 5 or 10 of them in probably, you know, 40 warehouses. I only sent in 20 or whatever, so mine are only in 20 warehouses, so it's not enough to be the same. Until I added a whole bunch more and sent them in. And I still did not see a big improvement in my sales versus his sales. And I'd say to him, hey, these things are still slow. And he'd be like, man, I'm getting ready to run out of them. You better. I'm like, what's going on? The only thing that I can think of that's different. Now, he does sell a lot more than I do. It's full time. He sells a lot more. But I think my seller rating had to play into it logically. Would you agree with that?
I would think it would. I would say that that would be one distinct aspect of what was in play with the algorithm.
It just makes sense now. And so that, because I was thinking that when I was at that conference, and all the suspensions and me not paying attention to this clearly, it all played into it. And that's why I'm like, Scott, I need your help. That's why I reached out to you and said, Scott, I need your help. And boy, did you come through, and you came through in a shining way. So people are probably going to be interested. So let's walk them through. They can do this on their own. I mean, let's not play any games here. Amazon actually tells you how to do it. You can go out there, and if you click on, I think it's customer feedback, or you click on the learn more, and it says, what can I do about incorrect negative feedback? It gives you all the ways to do all that stuff, right? And I'm sure there's a way to do it all.
Sure.
But it takes time. It takes time, and clearly, I imagine you've worked pretty hard on your scripts, and you probably have a pretty well-worded, and you figured out all those things. So somebody can go and learn this and devote the time it takes to go and learn this process and then manage it over time, or they can hire a company like yours. What other services? So you offer feedback repair.
Right.
You also – what other kind of services do you offer? So you offer a recovery of account if it's suspended.
Right.
Right. You'll help people get re-added. Any other services that you offer for account health?
Sure. No, I also offer letters and phone calls that somebody might need if they're not able to get feedback removed by Amazon, if you have to contact the customer directly. So I'll help with those things. I help with inserts for sellers, so especially if it's private label, but even otherwise, where you can create an insert that will go into your packaging so that you essentially help move a customer away from reaching out to Amazon to file some sort of complaint or an issue, so that you get to be first-line customer service and help prevent some of these issues. It's basically account protection, in addition to the fact that you're giving somebody an outlet if they want to, you know, let's say they want a refund, right? They could come to you directly for that instead of filing that as a, let's quote-unquote, case through Amazon. Well, that's one other way to protect your metrics. You know, if you're going to give them a refund anyway, why not adjust that process a little bit so that it doesn't become something that's on Amazon's radar screen? I help with, gosh, there's just a number of other things. There's just regular consulting for what kind of selling that you want to be doing. You know, not all types of selling are a great fit for everyone. So between RA and OA and private label and bundles and wholesale and closeouts, there's just so many different things that somebody might want to do or focus on, or that's a best fit for them. And I help people sort that out. And, you know, mostly I just like solving problems. I like coming up with creative solutions and strategies that are going to help people with the efficiency for their you know, their operations or being able to grow their account. You know, there's so many different things that somebody can run up against, and whether that's they don't have enough space, or they don't have enough time, or they don't have enough money. There are different strategies for each one of those limitations and other ones as well. So I like coming up with the solutions that each person can implement, you know, personally for their situation.
I think it's great. And I think this, again, you know, I'm going to use my analogy of a doctor, you know, just doing a tune-up to make sure things are right, just checking everything, or your mechanic, you know, like changing the oil and that kind of thing. I don't think the doctor's changing the oil, changing your blood. I think that's not quite the right analogy there. But I think there is I think this is a great service. I didn't realize it, to be honest with you. Never thought about it until I'm sitting there next to you and that Bloody Mary, you know. And I think it was before I drank the Bloody Mary. So it really I was definitely lucid at that point. And it just really – I am on the other side of it. My skepticism is completely gone, and I can absolutely recommend it because I am living proof. Those are real numbers I read to you. I'm as embarrassed as I am to say them, but those were real. And I can't imagine that I'm alone in this. My bet is that a lot more people, if they did look, they would say, So I have to pay you. And when I pay you, my return comes when I get that buy box on a more consistent basis, right? So there's a lot of ways to increase sales. You could send more product in, right? You can lower your prices. Both of those cost you money, and lowering your prices cost you profit, pure profit. Paying somebody to do a little bit of work on the account to help keep you in good standing and allow you to sleep at night. You know, I mean, I feel better now. I mean, I'm a little bit of pride in my step when I look at my numbers because I feel good about it. I must admit, I didn't feel so good when I saw that poor rating. It's something I never paid attention to, and so I'm really glad I'm on the other side of it. So, Scott, how do people get in touch with you? So you offer service, and you have feedbackrepair.com. Is that generally the best place to get in touch with you?
I'd say that's as good as any. I mean, my email address is scott@feedbackrepair.com. I have, Skype at SBM400. I usually put my cell phone out there if people are interested in reaching me that way. But really, the site's pretty straightforward.
It really is. And, you know, let's take a second and pause on the site, because in there are some testimonials, and the name that stood out to me immediately was Jordan Malik. Now, Jordan is a superstar in this business. He knows it all. He's been through it all. And for his endorsement, I give you credit, because that's a big deal to get his endorsement. He doesn't give it out to everybody, so that's a big name out there. I suggest you go there. It's feedbackrepair.com/testimonials, but it's also one of the hubs about pricing. It breaks that down for you, talks about support, and you have a blog. And so you offer just guidance. Let me take a look at the blog and read a little bit about this. So tell us what you do on there.
Well, I try to provide as much free and actionable content there as possible. In fact, I have a free ebook that lets somebody see some best practices for letters or phone calls. I'm going to be putting some more information there about how people can remove feedback on their own. I mean, I want people to be able to do that. It's not a secret that you can do it on your own. I think, as you mentioned, you know, if you're hiring me, then you're saving time, but you're also getting expertise. I've had a number of people who've tried to remove feedback on their own, and these are seasoned sellers, you know, 15-year accounts, and it just bothered them that in 15 years they only have 3 negatives and they can't get rid of them, so they contacted me and I was able to do that for them. And so you're also – you're not just buying time but also expertise. So I've got a number of things that I think are good and valid information. When I read something – I want to make sure it's something of value. I can't stand reading something and getting to the end and thinking, boy, I wish I had that time back. And so I try to do that, look through that lens when I'm providing information on the blog.
Well, I think it helps that I just had Paul Rutherford from ScanPower on, and he said same thing. He has his own account that they share at the office, and he said we're required once a month to go out and buy some stuff, scan it, come back and try and list it, because we really need to stay in touch with what sellers are experiencing. We need to know that things aren't working right or it's difficult, because anytime we slow down that process. So you too have an account, so you have a smaller account, but you still are in the process, so you know what we're going through. And I'm looking at some of your blog posts here, 5 ways to avoid an account an Amazon account suspension, removing negative product reviews, Amazon Seller University, brief overview of Joe Lister, private label seller, check into reviews, how to analyze your refunds and returns, Amazon drop shipping. So you're really are giving a lot of content, and you know it's all free. None of this stuff. There's no charge for any of these things, and I really appreciate that. So, and I will have links to all this, especially the blog. I'm just blown away with the amount of content here that all of us should take the time and read. Got to know more. Got to keep that knowledge base growing. Scott, man, I really appreciate you taking the time. I really appreciate what you've done for my account. I'm living proof that it can be done. I'm living proof that, you know, it's okay to be skeptical. But I'm here to tell you that was real, and I really personally do appreciate that. I really want to say thank you again. I want to thank you, and just if you're thinking about your account out there and you're thinking about, am I possibly in trouble or heading down a path that I probably want to get down, don't want to go down, go look at your customer satisfaction and look back and take a look and get serious about it because it is a serious issue. Scott, thank you so much.
Hey, thank you, Steve.
Have a great night.
You too.
Thanks for listening to the e-commerce Momentum Podcast. All the links mentioned today can be found at ecommercemomentum.com under this episode number. Please remember to subscribe and like us on iTunes.